Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message I've entitled After the Fire, and looking at the comment that James made in his fifth chapter that Elijah was a man of like passions, just as we are, I wanted to share some reflections on the life of this great man of God, this great prophet of the Lord, because the Word says he was just like us. So often we tend to memorialize the great heroes of the Bible, feeling that we could never attain to their accomplishments, but they served the same God. And they were of the same frame emotionally, spiritually, and in every way. I mean, of course, our talents and giftings do vary from individual to individual, but God has always used ordinary men and women. He turned the world upside down, mostly with a group and a handful of fishermen. So it does not matter our qualifications. But we were looking at and setting a background for what had occurred. There had been the tremendous victory that Elijah had experienced on Mount Carmel. He called down fire out of heaven. He said, "Let the God that be God, let him answer by fire." And then God did so dramatically, and the Israel cried out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then he killed 450 Baal prophets, as I read it. It sounds single-handedly. And, of course, we read immediately thereafter, in the beginning of chapter 19, Ahab, the king, then told his wife Jezebel, she threatened him that within 24 hours he was going to be dead. And so he runs for his life. He leaves his servant at Beersheba. He had gone about 80 miles out of the reach of Jezebel. He left his servant, and then he went into the wilderness and asked God, "Please let me die. Let me go home. I'm not any better than my fathers." Now, let's pick up on verse 5 of chapter 19. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." My goodness. And verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Obviously, although at that point in time, we didn't know exactly what was in the plan of Elijah or in God's plan, but he was having quite a journey ahead of him. And in the precious loving kindness of the Lord, an angel, it would seem, actually prepared a campfire, fixed a meal, had some water ready, woke him up, and because he knew he was exhausted physically as well as emotionally, let him sleep, and then woke him again and said, "You know, you need to eat some more." And then we see in verse 8 what happened. "He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." Now, that was his destination, and he went, he did not apparently eat, for 40 days and nights until he came to the mount of God. So, obviously, what had happened thus far? He was very depressed, very discouraged. He says, "God, just take my life." And of course, God said no, basically, when he sent the angel, told him to eat, well, and he said, "You've got a journey ahead of you." He was not answering his request. Now, let's read verse 9. "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there." This is at Mount Horeb. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Now, whenever God asks a question, generally the person is in trouble. God is a God of truth. He's a God of righteousness. And, beloved, He does know everything. But when He asks a question, as we see in the Word of God, or if He speaks to our hearts and asks us a question, generally He's calling upon us to reflect on what we're doing, what our attitude may be, where are we in relation to the Lord and His law and His righteous commandments. So we see throughout the Word, remember when Adam and Eve had just sinned, they were hiding, had made themselves coverings of fig leaves, and the Lord God said, "Where are you?" And then He said, "Who told you you were naked?" Remember also when the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Of course, she was afraid, and so she denied that she did. And He said, "No, but you did laugh." And then, I've always loved this, when they had the tremendous victory at Jericho. The Israelites had crossed over, the Jordan had parted. A tremendous victory at Jericho, marched around it 7 days. And then Joshua decides, well, he didn't seek the Lord, but they were going after a small little town, Ai. And then, of course, you know, one of the Israelites, Achan, had taken up the cursed thing, and as a result, they could not be victorious before their enemies. And so Joshua is lamenting, and the Lord says, "Why do you lie thus upon your get up? Lie thus upon your face. Get up. Act like a man. Israel has sinned." And of course, they found out the guilty party, and he and his family were stoned. So now let's see what Elijah. What he does. How does he answer the Lord? Well, let's read verse 10. "And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Well, what is he doing? He is saying, "Lord, have you seen all that I've done for you? I have been zealous for you. I've been filled with the zeal of the Lord. You see how wicked the children of Israel have been. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed the prophets. And I'm alone. I'm the only person left. And now they're seeking my life to take it away." He was in a funk. He was not in a good place. And so basically, what is he doing? Well, he's doing a number of things. First of all, he's excusing his retreat. All of his efforts were to no purpose. Actually, he feels, as perhaps some of you may be feeling, that you have been faithful, you have labored, and all of your efforts have given no results, that you have labored in vain, that no matter how hard you try, it wasn't sufficient to produce the results you had so hoped and prayed for. Well, that's how Elijah felt. He might as well give it up. He tried so hard, and there was no revival. There was no turning of the people back to God. He complains of the obstinacy of the people, which was true. But in doing so, he no longer becomes... He's no longer their advocate, but he becomes their accuser. He looked at them, at Israel, what they had done. They had not only forsaken the covenant, but they had willfully demolished God's altars for the worship of Baal. Jezebel slew the prophets, but most of the people were consenting. So even though there was a wicked king and queen, nonetheless, the people were going along with it. And he just says, you know, this is where it's at, God. And he remains the sole survivor of the true worshipers. What can one do against thousands? He has concerns for his safety, and he feels it's better to end life in solitude than in fruitless endeavors to reform those who have refused to be reformed. I just sense in the Spirit, some of you are listening, and you can really relate to what he feels like. You have tried so hard. You are worn out, and you're discouraged, and you don't feel that you have much hope or faith left, because you've emptied yourself, you've given your best, and it wasn't sufficient. And so what really is he answering the Lord? He just reiterates the facts that, of course, the Lord is fully aware of, and he gives a description of his personal state. Now, how could we describe his mental, his emotional state? Well, one of the things we can learn from Scripture, and if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you probably will concur that sometimes after great victories, there are great battles. And sometimes we might as well expect them, and in doing so, we'd be better equipped to handle them. Where was he at? He was disappointed. He would have expected, after all that tremendous display of God's power, that, and the people responded, they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." He was not only disappointed, he was discouraged, he was depressed. And beloved, some of you are feeling that way right now. You have stood in the gap so long for loved ones. You have witnessed. You have encouraged. You have helped in physical, material ways. You have done everything you knew to do. And it just doesn't seem to get any better. And that's exactly where Elijah was. After what God, how God had displayed his mighty power, he would have expected a national revival. The people would have turned back to God from the throne on all the way down. Instead, there was increased opposition. Do you remember when the book of Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh, who were the hated enemies of Israel. And he fled. He didn't want to do it because they were so cruel and oppressive. Nonetheless, after he gets swallowed by a whale, he finally obeys. But as wicked as Nineveh was, they heard his message and they repented. They fasted and repented for God, and destruction was held off until about 100 years later when they reverted to their evil ways. So, beloved, we don't have to feel that because we don't have results, that it's all over. I'm sorry I've run out of time. We're going to have to continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and I hope if this is where you find yourself today, you'll be eager to tune in as we look at resolutions, as we look to see what God did to minister to Elijah. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. UCM Partners, what a blessing you are to my heart and to God's heart. Thank you for your faithful prayers and offerings. I do invite you, those who had prayer needs, or if you're in this state, to write down the contact information. I'll look for your letter or email. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.